Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Welcome in to another edition of Cabali and Mac alongside the well-traveled Mark Cabali. Kaboom is in his spot. I am Chris Mack. We've got plenty to talk about today, like a lot to talk about today. We got 10 pounds to shove in a 5-pound sack, and we got Paul Daner of The Athletic behind enemy lines in Cincinnati to give us the Bengals' perspective on things. Joe Burrow opening his practice window. A million things going on down there. We got a Thursday night game to make a pick on. We got new guys on the roster. Cryptic tweets from Cabali. All kinds of stuff going on. So let's just start out by thanking our good friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show and for being on board from the very beginning. They got a great special right now, too. Message them to schedule your furnace checkup before it's running 24 hours a day, although it may be already. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or give them a call, 412-297-1852. Donate a new article of children's clothing or a new kid's toy. They'll get it to the Foster Love Project. In return, they slash the cost of that furnace checkup in half from $79.99 to $39.99. They'll take care of all of it for you. Maintenance, repair, replacement. Great folks doing a great job. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or 412-297-1852. We appreciate them supporting the show. Make sure you're following on all your social medias and subscribed on YouTube. We're now only about 80 subscribers away on YouTube from giving someone the choice of the autographed Will Howard helmet or the Stone Cold Steve Austin vest. And like I said, make sure you're following on all the socials, the Twitter, where you may be watching us right now, X, whatever you want to call it, Instagram, Facebook, even TikTok, because we're going to have some awesome giveaways for the holidays. We got some things.
On TikTok?
Even on TikTok.
Does that mean
you got to start a TikTok account?
I don't do TikTok.
I mean, you can start one and then just not post
it. Isn't that like ruled by China and they invade all of your privacy and grab all your...
Somebody bought it and it was... I don't know. I don't keep track of that stuff. I just know tons of people watch us on TikTok. So
I already get really, really strange messages. And you ever get this thing now where if you get email that goes into your junk folder, it automatically goes into your phone as a... You know, the app that the phone app, I don't even know what it's called.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Where it gives you different, where you have your schedule at, you know. Oh, I got a haircut that, you know, whatever that thing's called.
Calendar?
Yeah, the calendar. Then if you go and delete it out of your junk mail, it deletes off the calendar.
I don't know. You got a lot going on over there. You're not good with technology.
I'm
going
to blame it on you. And you want me to go TikTok. Okay.
You can figure it out. We got a ton of people watching us over there. We thank each and every one of you, however you get the show, whenever you get it, whether it's live as we're doing it, whether it's after the fact, we appreciate yins. And we're going to make it worth your while this holiday season with some good friends who are helping us cook up some awesome giveaways for the holiday season. Keep an eye out for that. I always have an eye out if I'm up late, you know, laying on the couch, getting some stuff done while I'm watching, you know, got the old Sopranos episodes in the background while I'm doing stuff. And every once in a while, I see, bloop, pops up on my phone, another Kabali midnight tweet. I don't know what you mean by this. Sometimes the logical, this sounds like a goddamn fortune cookie. Sometimes the logical road becomes predictable. If it becomes predictable, you need to pivot. Pivot! What the hell does that mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I should tell you really where I got this from.
I want you to now. Everybody wants to know where you got it from, not just me.
Honestly, then it really takes away from my allure and my, you know, the mystical ways of my late night stuff. You thinking I'm coming up with these great things of talking about the Steelers? Now I saw a clip of Triple H on the move on the
talking. from the behind the scenes show on Netflix.
Yes, and how they wanted to, he wanted to put CM Punk over at WrestleMania.
Yes,
and they're like, I don't
now
know.
Now I recognize it.
But honestly, it can be applied to a lot of things.
It could.
You can. The reason why I do this, I like how people apply it to certain things. I just see where people's minds are.
It's like a great piece of art. It's all about the interpretation, right?
Yes, yes. And 99 out of 100 times, it's like me just coming across a clip that I thought was a pretty interesting quote.
This is your art. Like Bob Ross painted in oils and Picasso did watercolors. I don't know if that's true or not. Mark Kabali, he paints in beautifully obscure midnight tweets. I thought at first, maybe
I was talking about Tomlin, right?
No, I didn't think it had anything to do with Tomlin. I thought maybe with all the Skeens chatter over the last couple of days, you were alluding to that. By the way, did you see this morning?
That looks like Bill Chirpak.
It does kind of look like Chirp, doesn't it? That's Randy Miller from NJ.com. He's the New Jersey beat writer, or the Yankees beat writer for NewJersey.com, NJ.com. He just put this up this morning. We'll get to the Steelers. Trust me. MVS, Asante Samuel, the wheel of WTF in just a second. But he says that there's a former Pirate telling him that Skeens wants to play for the Yankees. Okay. And when Ben Charrington was asked about this yesterday, apparently he said, in no uncertain terms, I'm calling BS on that.
Hmm. Maybe these same people are the ones that are talking to Aaron Rodgers' teammates about his wife. Maybe it's the same,
we'll get to that,
the same fake people out there. I don't know if I'm allowed to speak on the Pirates, because I'm hearing there might be some rumblings inside that Pirates clubhouse that don't appreciate me talking crap on them. So maybe I shouldn't.
Like
say
who?
That. Can't say here, man. Be out in the source.
So hold on. People at PNC Park pay attention to what you have to say about the Buckeyes.
Players. Put it this way. Maybe
is
a pitcher.
Is it Skeener himself?
No.
Holly doesn't like, he's not on social media. He doesn't pay attention.
Oh, he knows everything. But no. I hear through a grapevine somebody does not approve of my negativity surrounding the Pittsburgh Steelers. To this person, I say,
your negativity about the Pirates.
You suck. I mean, the team stinks. It has nothing really to do with you. It has to do with your owner, and the team continues to put out crap, and a hardcore Pirates fans to buy it every single year before maybe May into June before they finally give up. I'm tired of it. Just like I'm tired of the Tomlin stuff. It might be true. Maybe it's time to get rid of Tomlin, but I'm just tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing about the Buckos.
Kutch, I know he keeps an eye out for things on social media.
No, Kutch. Me and Kutch are tight.
Okay.
Me and Kutch went to the I saw him at Disney on Ice, not Disney on Ice, somewhere down the Benidorm a couple years ago. Me, him, and Omar.
Have an ice drink at the Benidorm.
No, it was one of those goofy things, the Christmas things.
Okay. Well,
oh, geez. That's Johnny the Barber. Has to work Steelers pregame with public access Mackie. I'm like, well, okay. I know that's Johnny the Barber. I know who that is.
What kind of shot is that?
I don't even know what that means. But
or is it a shot? I don't know. It could be, I don't know, whatever.
All right. Let's get on track here.
Let's get on track. Thanks first to our friends who were over there, I guess, getting ready to do work at your house the other day. Higgins Professional Painting, getting ready to do some work at Kaboom's house after they're done there. I'm going to have them over here. Why? Because they do fantastic friggin' work. Locally owned in the South Hills for the last 40 years. The Higgins family will take care of you. Interior, exterior painting. If you got a business, they do commercial and industrial as well. They'll get you a free estimate on whatever you need done. Go to HigginsProfessional.com to get in touch with them, or do it the old-fashioned way. Pick up the phone and call them at 412-344-0480. Did they get started yet?
Oh, put it this way. I'll tell you the whole story. Okay. Set it up.
Quickly. People are mad and they want to talk Steelers.
I don't care. This is Higgins painting. And it was, so they show, they're like, hey, they said, we'll be here at a certain time, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, show up 10 minutes early. Ooh. Cody was here. I guess he's the foreman. I'm believing so. And he gets a phone call and says, oh, I'm having Jen come over, but she's gotten in an accident in the tunnels.
Oh, no.
You know what? They talk, whatever. 20 minutes later, she shows up. Ain't nothing stopping her. They do some work. He leaves, got to go another project. Bam, by herself. Wham, bam, boom, 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 boom. Clean up, out the door, out here in a couple hours. It looks perfect.
They're done already.
Wham. Holy and I, you know, God. While they're here, I'm like, hey, give me an estimate on this room down here.
Give me this room here and that room there.
I talked to Corey, and I'm like, dude, good news and bad news. Good news is wonderful job. Bad news is now my wife probably wants the entire house painted.
Probably. So get prepared for that. Great. I can't wait to have them over. Higgins Professional Painting, we appreciate their support of the program. All right, let's get into the wheel of what the – because there are all kinds of crazy things floating around out there in Steelers Nation. We'll get into MVS and Asante Samuel in just a couple minutes before we get Paul Daner on from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. But we've seen headlines on social media over the last 72 hours, ranging from Rodgers should be benched for Rudolph to Mike Tomlin should be traded to the Giants, mm-hmm. who just fired Brian Daboll, to Rodgers has a phantom wife. So I thought, with all of these crazy stories floating around out there,
you got too much time on your hands, but go ahead.
Rather than the wheel of suck, which we do when we try to determine if teams actually suck or not, we could do the wheel of, are you ready? The wheel of what the WTF. All right. You ready? I'm not going to go with gratuitous swearing today. So we've got three options on the wheel. We've got benching Rodgers. We've got trading Tomlin. And the phantom wife. Are you ready to spin the wheel, Kaboom?
We could probably add about 10 more of those, but I could see you pulled that straight off of like clip art from the 80s. But
you like that? Let's go. Let's spin the wheel and see which one we land on first. This is high tech here. Trading Tomlin. Let's go with that first. How far into the stratosphere of what the f- are we talking about is that?
That's every couple of weeks, right? And we're not going to... I mean, I'll tell you the truth here. It has gotten a lot louder, right? Not trading him, but moving on from him. I mean, it's at the point where it's people are just angry, very, very angry. But
well, yeah, and look, fans are always angry after a loss.
No, this is a little different, though. I think
this is people
a little different.
Who is
really mad? Really mad? Is the masses?
Okay. All right, so it's nobody at 3400 South Water Street that we know of yet.
Nobody that makes any decisions or anything like that. The way I look at it, they're going to win the next two games. There's not going to be a word said about it. They're going to get boat raced by Buffalo, and here comes Fire Tomlin again.
Right.
They're going to beat Baltimore and whoever. Then they're going to lose another tough one. It's going to be Fire Tomlin. It's just going to continuously go on like this. There's two questions here, right? Should you fire him? Should you trade him? Or will they trade him? Will they fire him? That's two distinct opposite things right here. We already know one answer, right?
Well, I would say this. It all starts with if the season falls apart, right?
If the season falls apart, forget that. If the season falls apart, then maybe there's a 1% chance.
Okay, but let's say they get to a point. Art Rooney gets to a point where it's loud enough and he hears enough from people that he trusts that he says, okay, maybe it is time to move on from Mike. No. At that point, I think he's still got term left on his contract.
Yeah.
If you're going to move on, then you open it up to, hey, who needs, you get ahead of the head coaching cycle and all the changes that are going to happen in late January, January and February. And you try to get something out of it.
I mean, does the Steelers organization, Art Rooney seems like a cat that's going to trade his 20-year head coach. As an organization over the past 50 years, if you want to go back past 90 years.
No, but what I will say is until 2018, whatever it was, 2019, they weren't a team that traded first-round picks in the middle of the season for players or made the kind of moves that they've made over the last couple years.
Different. This is different, though. This is organizationally from the top up. This isn't, hey, let's change the way we put together our team. This is the, how can I put it? This is the legacy of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I don't think the last thing Art Rooney wants to do, even if it was that 1% chance of saying, I am trading this guy. First of all, this is the way I look at it with this. Anything Tomlin related in Art Rooney. Art, 73, right?
Okay.
When you get older, as Tomlin would say, you know, the end is closer than the beginning of it.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
His career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, he's going to give up. Do you want to start all over again? Or do you want to say, okay, let's just try to figure this out for the next couple of years while I'm still around here?
Are you talking about from Tomlin's perspective?
I'm talking from Rooney's perspective. Why would he want to move on and start all over again at 73?
He wants to get a ring while he's in charge.
At 73. First of all, who hired Mike Tomlin? Art Rooney. Oh, Dan, maybe.
I would tend to believe that Dan had a lot to do with that.
Well, Art probably had a lot to do with it as well at that point in 07. But I just don't think you want to start over. I don't want to start over, man. It's like being 73 and going to quit your job and go get another job. You're like, I ain't doing this crap. That's the way I think of it. I mean, maybe after next year.
I also think if it's not important to Art Rooney II, that they win one more title or at least get to a Super Bowl while he's still the man in charge and the one pushing all the buttons. Well, then at a certain point, you've got to ask yourself, maybe we change course here.
Or at a certain point, you say, this is my best opportunity to stick with the guy. I've been here for 19 years. I know what I'm getting. If I bring the head coach in, I got to change everything.
No, he doesn't.
The whole staff.
He doesn't have to change anything, Art Rooney.
Art's going to like say, hey, hire a coach, and that's it? You don't think that
I mean, is he telling Mike Tomlin who to hire as his assistant coaches?
Well, what I'm saying is everything will be turned over, and I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. I don't think he'd be willing to do that.
It might be the perfect time to turn it over, though, if the veteran quarterback decides to hang him up, and – you feel like you've got an opportunity, you know, this might be the window. If it were ever going to happen, this offseason might be the window.
I think
if Art Rooney's got a 1% chance of doing it, that 1% might exist this offseason.
I think it's next offseason.
Okay. And if you're going to do it, again, I'll stand by the belief that if you're going to do it, if you're going to part ways with Mike Tomlin, you get something for it because you know the rest of the league will be knocking down your door.
True. Plus, you could save some money, I guess, but I don't know if they worry about that. What's he make, 14, 15? I don't know how much he makes. 18
for a
million.
Guy that hasn't won a playoff game in almost 10 years.
You can say that about. And I got a message from somebody, a writer from another city yesterday, and he said, hey, he's from Chicago, right? He goes, why are people acting like Mike Tomlin's Matt Eberflus?
Well,
be very careful what you wish for. That's what I got from the Chicago guy.
I get it. In Chicago, they just want to be in the playoffs. The standards are a little different, right? So, and they've been through the wilderness now with quarterbacks and coaches for, Jesus, since Jay Cutler was there. I mean, damn. So I understand the thirst for just a playoff spot in Chicago.
Okay. Do we think we're overreacting to the point, though, that not we, but the general, that if they go and beat Bengals this week and Buffalo next, not Buffalo, Chicago the week after that, and then they go 7-4, they 7-4.
Yeah.
It's just quiets. You don't hear it again until they get whacked again.
I think it's boiling right now to the point where you have to keep an eye on it so it doesn't spill over if they win these next two games, like you just said. It'll turn the heat down. Yeah, it'll slow to a simmer, but it'll still be sitting there on the back burner until they win a playoff game, Mark.
I'm just not a big fire your head coach guy, especially in season. I'm just not that type
of guy. Anybody realistic believes it would happen in season.
I don't know. I just don't. I think you put this together. I do think Art and this is just speculation. I do think Art and Tomlin are tied together at the hip. And maybe you could throw Aaron Rodgers in there too.
Oh, my.
All three, when one goes, all three. I mean, Art's never going to go. I mean, he's always going to be a part of it. It's not like he's, you know, on his deathbed. He's in good shape. He's good health, good mental health. He's going to be a part of this for a while.
All right, let's spin the wheel again and pick another one of these WTF stories. The wheel of WTF here on Cabali and Mac. The wheel is spinning, and this time we land on benching Rodgers.
People have been screaming. You've heard that?
I've seen it in the comments on YouTube here on our show. People saying put Rudolph in. Rodgers is cooked. Now look, it was arguably the worst, if not one of the four or five worst games of his career Sunday night. So
I'm sure he admits that too. It's bad. Okay.
He admits it. Now, look, when he was 33, 34, 37, it was easier to bounce back from a game like this, maybe. When you're 41, a couple weeks away from 42, maybe it's not as easy to bounce back from a game like this. But yes, I have seen that on social media. People saying, that's it. Cut the cord. Go to Rudolph.
I just realized this as we started here, by the way. Steelers activated Will Howard, so our problems are solved.
There we go. Everything's
back
solved.
On the roster. He's going to be playing on Sunday. and they officially signed Asante Samuel, but that's beside the point. We'll get to
Asante Samuel and MVS in a second. From a 0 to 10 on the WTF scale, where does benching Rodgers land?
Is 10 good or bad?
10 would be, oh my God, what the are you even talking about? There's no reality where that possibility exists. 9.9? Okay.
I would say you need a couple more of those before you even consider that.
So, again, let's go down the path of things start to fall apart. They lose to Cincy again. They lose to Chicago. Buffalo comes to town. They get boat raced by them. And all of a sudden, we're staring down the barrel of 5-7 and having to win out maybe to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, then I would consider – you'd have to consider that. But if you're Mike Tomlin, what takes precedent here? Of winning and try to salvage a season or basically keeping your word to a Hall of Famer? I don't know. Would he just say, okay, we're done with you, man. See ya. Even though I love you, Aaron Rodgers talked about it. It's the only reason why he's here, and he trusts me. He trusts Mike Tomlin and all that. At that point, if you're not going to move on with him, then yeah, but that's pure speculation. I don't think it gets to that point. I don't.
Bogart on Facebook is ready for the Will Howard experiment in a game where they have a lead. He's ready for Will Howard to take over late in the game. That would have to include them getting a big lead at some point. Would also have to include, I would think, Mason.
I mean, it's not out of the question you're going 7-4 here, right?
No, it's not out of the question that they're 7-4. It's not out of the question that they're 5-6, 5-7. So if we learn one thing about this team, Mark, through the first 10 weeks of the season, is that it's impossible to predict what the hell's going to happen in the next game.
That's why you go status quo and hope you figure some things out here. I mean, they can go 7-4, get boat raced by Buffalo, want to fire them again, then welcome Baltimore in and whip Baltimore, and all of a sudden No More Fire Tomlin. You see the ebb and flow of the thoughts of the fan base. And if you're the owner, you don't want to follow that same. I mean, Art loves the fans, I'm sure, and loves everything about them. But as an owner, you got to be pretty steady, man, because you just can't overreact. And that's the last thing they do with anything they do is overreact. Is that right, wrong? I don't know. That's just the way they go about business.
All right, the final item on the wheel, we don't need to spin it because we already got the other two. Rogers' phantom wife. What is going on with this?
I thought that was fake. You know, you get those stupid ass.
I mean, it was in the New York Post, so you take it with a grain of salt, right?
Not only that, I thought that was those things that were, you ever see those stories? It's like, you'll never believe what Art Rooney gave Mike Tomlin. He gave him a Rolex. I'm like, what are you talking about? I thought it was one of those goofy things, so I just went past it.
Came across as that.
Who in the hell
cares?
Number one. Second of all, is who the hell is a player's wife is going to say, yeah, we're like the really made them. I think it's just made up. And, okay. You know, I think it's just made up. It's just dumb. By the way, if she wants to stay private, he wants to stay private with it.
What's it matter? What?
Go F yourself then. You know, I mean, who the hell cares? Do I really care about Aaron Rodgers' new wife? If she talks to the cornerback or the defensive lineman's girlfriend? Who the hell cares? Can you throw a touchdown? Can you win a game?
Yeah. Can you not check out of a handoff to Jaylen Warren on second down?
Sometimes, you know, you make mistakes.
Understood. You know? Mistakes happen. Don't screw up if you're looking for a place to watch Thursday night football. If you don't have tickets to the Pitt Notre Dame game and you need a place to watch it, if you're not going to game day, if you're not going to Steelers Bengals, next best place to watch it, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. Archie's on Carson. Love Arch. Appreciate him supporting the show Monday through Thursday nights. That would include tonight, as it is Wednesday as we're speaking right now. 80 cent wings, and they are fantastic. Fresh wings. They don't grab them out of the freezer and dump them in the fryer. No, these are choice wings, great sauces, great flavors. Get on down there, get your wings, get your ice cold iron and IC light or whatever you want to drink, and get on down to Archie's for all the games. Archie's on Carson, open late on weekends, so you can watch every single game.
Pitt West Virginia basketball game coming up.
Is that tonight? It's tonight or tomorrow. Yeah, backyard brawl on the hardwood.
Tomorrow. That's going to be jamming down there at the Arches.
Every single night, there's a reason to go to Archie's. Weekends as well.
Trivia night tonight.
You're big Moops on the trivia nights, aren't you?
Yeah, the Moops.
Card says the Moops. All right.
Sorry. Moops.
Sorry, Mars. Boy. MVS, do we think he sees the field this weekend? Mike Tomlin played it kind of coy yesterday during his press conference. If he does, I don't think that's an instant fix to the offense, obviously. But if Aaron Rodgers has felt like guys aren't getting open, and that would help to have a connection with somebody that he's familiar with, maybe he lobbies Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin to get MVS active on Sunday.
I don't think it matters. I think if he is active, that just tells me that Aaron Rodgers wants him active.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I mean, that's about it. Is he going to be a difference maker? No. Maybe he'll give you a Mike Williams Commanders play. I don't think that's a difference maker. I'd much rather see Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth get involved in the offense a little bit more than worrying about Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
I do think we're going to see him on Sunday. I don't know how much. I don't know if it's, 10 snaps or something stupid like that. But I think we see him out there, and I think we see Rodgers try to get the ball to him at least once or twice.
See, I'm still a big Calvin Allison fan. I know he stunk it up the other day. I still think he's our best number two option. I mean, first of all,
tight ends, you mean?
Yeah,
right?
They need the tight ends. My goodness,
I think the best
driving me
insane.
Option,
the best number two option in the receiving game, as far as I'm concerned, is Darnell Washington. That's the guy that I want them trying to get the ball to.
Yeah, but he's an 8-yarder guy. I want a guy that can hit the seams like Freiermuth and Jonnu too.
I like what
we saw with Jonnu, but it was a poor throw.
Muth is the zone breaker, right? We hear that all the time. I like Darnell. I like Jonnu if they can get him the ball. But I got a feeling about MVS. One other guy added to the roster just in the last, 24 hours or so. Asante Samuel Jr. added to the practice squad, though. And Ian Rappaport tweeting this morning that his surgery last year was done by the Steelers team neurosurgeon, Dr. David Okonkwo. I want to make sure I say that right. He has passed his physical, Ian says. So do we see Asante Samuel on Sunday afternoon with all the injuries in the secondary?
I think it was going to have to depend on first if Slays passes the protocol. It doesn't probably look like that will happen. I don't think Trice, obviously they didn't activate Trice for today, so he can't be a guy. So you're looking at Pierre. They put him on the practice squad probably just to see what he looks like during the week. Is he in shape? Is he physically ready to go for some football? I mean, just football shape.
Mm-hmm.
But if he is, and if Slay's out, yeah, activate him. I mean, I don't know this. We haven't talked to him yet. I'm sure we'll do it sometime later today. I think he probably chose Pittsburgh because it was his best chance to play.
Well, right? During the offseason, we brought his name up several times. I think before the Slay signing, we were talking about corners who they could add. And I guess people around the league were worried about the recovery from the injury. Maybe it took a little longer. Maybe it was a little more difficult than anybody expected. But you're talking about a guy who would have had gotten a big fat contract this past offseason, I think, if he were totally healthy. So if he can step in and play like he did 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, whenever it was, before he got hurt, that's a guy that – and here's where I'll give Omar Khan just a little bit of credit, and then we'll get to Paul Daner because we've got to get a view from Cincinnati on what's going on with the Bengals and Joe Burrow back into the practice window and all that. I will give Omar Khan credit for when things have not worked to this point or maybe injuries have thrown up a speed bump, he's been willing to try whatever they can try to shore up the secondary. They went out and they got Chuck Clark in training camp. They brought in Juan Thornhill. Thornhill didn't work out. Couldn't find the football when it was in the air. Mm-hmm. Chuck Clark is what he is. They've been willing to move Ramsey around. So they're willing to do what they have to try and shore up the secondary. They might luck out here with Samuel, and this might turn into something.
As of a week ago, they weren't even – I won't say interested. They didn't hear anything from Samuel as of a week ago. So this is relatively quickly of this happening, him coming in here. Even checking out his medicals, you know.
I think, like you said, they'll do that thing kind of like they did with MVS last week. They'll bring him in, get him into the fold, practicing, make sure he's ready to go, football shape, all that. And if we see him, probably at the earliest, we're talking next week in Chicago. But we'll see. Like you said, a lot of it has to do with Darius Slay and the protocol, too. Let's get to somebody. We get great guests from Cincinnati. We had Jay Morrison last month to get ready for what was just an awful football game. And then we said, you know what? No offense to Jay. Let's upgrade our game just a little bit.
Ooh.
And let's get Paul Daner Jr. in here. Paul, you could also find on the Growler podcast occasionally with Jay. Jay's going to see this and be like, F you, Mac.
Yeah.
Senior Bengals writer for The Athletic, Paul Daner Jr. with us here on Kabbalah Mac. How you doing, Paul?
I'm offended for Jay. That's
Me
terrible.
Too. Me too.
Man, that
was... Jay was fantastic. We were sitting here talking about how the Steelers were going to blow out the Bengals, and Jay's like, no, I like the Bengals to win. And then, well, we saw what happened.
Just don't tell Paul that we, Butchie Hobson turned us down, so he's number two.
Oh, wow.
No.
I was a Butch replacement.
No, because nobody would be able to understand him in Pittsburgh. So just like Tom.
Just like no one outside of Pittsburgh can understand you. So it works
well,
out.
I was going to say, it sounds
easy.
Pretty familiar. It sounds pretty familiar to me.
You remember what Tomlin said at the owner's meeting? Oh, you know what the hell he's talking about.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Yeah, no. Butchie's the best. You want to get the real insight, man. You go to Butch. He knows more than anybody wants to know.
He's the only Cincinnati guy that has the thickest Boston accent I've ever heard.
Well, and it's great that they have Jamar Chase now, and they had Shamar Stewart. So it's Jamar and Shamar.
Jamar
becomes it's like, what country are we in? You know, they just seem to keep drafting people that like augment his accent just
extra
for our
R's on the end of the name.
Yeah.
So Hobson could just drop them all over the place. Burrow's got two R's in the middle of the name, Joe Burrow. Mm. I don't know. I don't even know how Hobson would say that. And he's back inside the practice window.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you know, when we did talk to Jay a couple weeks ago, he did make a really good point about, hey, if they can just stay afloat, man, if they can just stay within a couple games of the top of this division, they feel really good about getting Joe Burrow back late in the year and maybe putting something together. Is it all kind of coming together right now in Cincy?
Yeah, earlier than they thought. Well, I don't know if anything's coming together in terms of staying afloat. That might, I mean, there's holes in the ship. But the Burrow part of this, certainly he's far ahead of what the schedule, anybody thought the schedule was going to be. Monday was sort of like this, it was like the big reveal. They finally opened the curtains like, hey, we've been holding this secret that Burrow's rehab has actually been way ahead of schedule. I mean, there was actually the thought was, I mean, truly the most aggressive timeline would have him here in mid-December. And that was like, okay, we're almost just saying this to be nice. But more than likely, season was probably over, or you just getting him back when you get into the playoffs, if you did. So this is certainly a very positive development. The fact that we're even discussing Thanksgiving against Baltimore as a possibility is crazy. That probably doesn't happen, but I mean, the fact that, you know, Burrow's out there, we had, you know, we're watching him in practice. I don't know what exactly I expected to see, but he was moving around, moving in the pocket, throwing the ball fine. Like, it was, you know, for a guy who had that surgery, was really surprising. So yeah, he's in a good place. The problem is, that's not the problem. The problem is that they have the number one offense in football since Joe Flacco got here by EPA per play. They can't win because the defense is that bad. So it's like, yeah, it'd be great to have Burrow back. No one's saying that a Burrow wouldn't be an upgrade from Joe Flacco. But the problem is that you can't really have that much better of an offense compared to what they've been doing. And the issue is they can't stop a soul.
I got a question about Flacco. I mean, I know they acquired him from Cleveland just as a stopgap, but did even the coaching staff realize what he still had left in the tank?
No. I mean, I think they would tell you, like, sure, but I mean, I think you felt like there was a survival. Let's find a way to get by. Not he's opening up stuff in this offense that they've been, you know, wanting to see, where some parts of this, some stuff that even Burrow wasn't doing. It's really basically he's saving their offensive line. He gets the ball out so fast. He's got since he got to Cincinnati, second fastest time to throw in the NFL. He's getting it out quick. He's getting it. And when you do that, you know, you're minimizing the issues that you have up front, and you're making it a receivers versus corners game. And we know that's the game that they want to live in all day, every day. And so you saw that in the last Pittsburgh game. It's get it out quick, feed it to Jamar over and over and over and over again, and make them stop it. And then when they start to cloud that or bracket that even more, it's Higgins, and they hit the Higgins shot. And, you know, in the now Chase Brown has really seen his game come up. Their running game, which was dead the first month of the season, has been the most efficient in football since Flacco showed up here. So it's really opened up just saving them from their offensive line issues, because he's just saying, I'm going to survive this by getting the ball out fast. And he knows what he's looking at. And that's, you know, kind of been what's made everything go.
I was going to bring up Chase Brown. Mike Tomlin mentioned him yesterday, the 8 catches he had the other day. He shredded the Steelers down in Cincy. Do you think they come into this game and try to establish the run again and do basically just try to follow the same blueprint they did in the win in the first game? We know AFC North games always have a tendency to flip a little bit in the second meeting. Unless you're playing the Browns, it's rare that you get the same blueprint from anybody in the second game, because everybody knows everybody so well.
Yeah. And this is their blueprint. They're not really hiding who they are. They've looked the same each of these last three games, as they've scored, you know, a ton of points, 80 the last 2 weeks, and then the 33 against Pittsburgh. It's been, they're staying ahead of the sticks. The thing about the Chase Brown run game is it's been a lot of like, they're even really willing on second and long to run it way more than you would think. And they're getting themselves into third and five consistently. And so they're like, hey, we'll keep leaning on that. If we know we can get into third and five, we feel like Flacco can see the field and Jamar can get open or whatever to get conversions. And that's been the case. That was really, and there were a lot of problems when Jake Browning was taking over a quarterback. But one of them was they just kept ending up in third and longs because the run game wasn't working and they couldn't get any sort of like just the easy take the check down plays to keep themselves ahead of the sticks. And when they do that, when you can have to worry about the run or the pass and you have the weapons that they have, everything just kind of goes so much better. And so, yeah, the efficiency, the run game, willingness to do it on second and long is not going to change. This is just kind of who they are right now, because until they see somebody stop it, which nobody really has yet, they're not going to stop doing it.
Well, Paul, I guess we're surprised by Flacco and how he's been able to play. But defensively, I mean, didn't we see this coming from a mile away, that they weren't very interested in adding any quality talent to that side? So you can't be surprised of them struggling, right?
Well, you know, we always, so, you know, like we love to do this when seasons go sideways. So this is the worst defense I've ever seen, right? We do it. You sit there in game and then you're supposed to come back and be like, well, you know, actually it's not. No, this is historically by NFL standards, the worst that we've ever seen. Like it, we got to go back to the 60s to see stuff that we're seeing right now from this current Bengals defense. They are just awful. And you're right. It's the same thing that we saw last year. It's the same players. They hoped that a new coordinator, and blaming Lou Anarumo, was going to be what this was going to be about. It's like, if you just played the young guys, we had another draft class of young players, that they'll all come together and grow together. And Al Golden knows how to get it out of them, because that's his strength, is developing young players. He can connect to them. Lou was just too attached to his veterans and didn't know how to. And that was the, that was what was said. That was the scapegoating scenario last January. And here we are, when they went through free agency and didn't really do anything to actually bring serviceability to their issues at safety, at linebacker, or at defensive tackle. They brought back BJ Hill. They brought back, you know, they still had Logan Wilson starting. They decided to go young a couple weeks ago and start these two rookie linebackers next to each other. I mean, you guys know how hard it is to play linebacker as a rookie in this league, and you've got two of them next to each other. And then you add Shamar Stewart, their first round pick at the edge, who doesn't seem to have a clue what he's doing out there half the time. And you end up in situations where when all three of them are on the field together on early downs, they're giving up 7.1 yards per carry. Okay. They miss gaps. They run into the wrong spaces. They're just unable to fill correctly. And then they miss tackles. Sport Radar has them for 109 missed tackles this year. The Steelers have the second most at 81. A 28 missed tackle gap. Like, you know, think about that. Add 28 missed tackles to what you guys have watched with Pittsburgh this year, and that's where the Bengals have been. Yes, we saw this coming. There was this hope is a plan situation that all these young players would get better, and one has, DJ Turner. DJ Turner has gotten better. He's turned into a true number one corner. Everybody else that they've drafted, and they have 10 top 100 picks that are playing significant roles on this team right now, has not gotten better, is not good enough, and is part of the problem.
I'm glad you brought him up, because you're leading right into my next question again. It was going to be Turner having a quality game last time against the Steelers. The pick, a ton of pass breakups as well. And for better or worse, Rodgers and Metcalf the last couple of weeks have not had a great time connecting. They had a really good game over in Dublin against the Vikings. DK had a great catch and run for a long touchdown, but they've struggled to find that consistency. It looks to me sometimes like Aaron is trying to force the ball to DK Metcalf. We saw it on a back shoulder fade Sunday night on fourth down that went nowhere. Is the Bengals' hope on defense, hey, if we could just lock up Metcalf with Turner, maybe we can make a couple plays happen, force Rodgers into some bad throws, and again, lay the same blueprint as they did on that Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a whole lot of levers to pull. I mean, they've got, we have DJ Turner. If you're trying to get it to DK Metcalf as your number one thing, that's what's going to happen. Like, he's going to travel with him again. It's going to look the same. You know, they had DJ Turner traveled with Rome Odunze for Chicago. Rome Odunze, zero receptions in that game. Like, DJ has been shutting people down. It's been remarkable, actually. This is a guy who couldn't even get the start. He was essentially not benched, but lost the camp battle for the opener, and has just come in and taken off this year. And even against a guy, you know, DJ's slight, so he's not supposed to be this physical, you know, can handle a DK Metcalf, but that was maybe his best game, was the way he went out there and was able to play physical. And the interception was like a prime example of it, to be able to play physical, tough football against, you know, one of the most physical receivers in the NFL. So they're going to bank on that. It's the one thing that they've got going for them, is they feel like they can do that. Trey Hendrickson already listed as doubtful. They're not even playing the like fake game where they pretend like maybe he could play during the week to keep the other team wondering. Not even doing that, just doubtful for Hendrickson. That's a game changer because they have no pass rush. So they're just going to hope that they can get a couple of plays and from DJ Turner, a turnover here and there, because you're not going to see much pass rush and you're going to see a lot of missed tackles.
What do you anticipate on the offensive side of the ball? They were so successful last time against the Steelers, did what they wanted to do. Do they mix it up at all, do you think? Or do they just say, this worked last time, our players are better than your players, and we're just going to roll out the same plan?
Well, their offensive strategy really since T and Jamar got here was, our players are better than your players. I mean, they just basically everything is about setting up Jamar and T for matchups and getting one-on-ones and letting them go out there and win quickly, usually in how quickly that Burrow and now Flacco can get the ball out. So, I mean, I just feel like and the Bengals strategy against Pittsburgh, they love to spread them out and not make it a game of your D-line versus the Bengals offensive line, because we know who's going to win that most of the time. And they've had success doing that over the years, been able to find ways to put up points and just turn it into a secondary game. And so, yeah, that's what they're going to want to do. I think they're not changing their blueprint for how they believe is the best way to attack the Steelers now. I've kind of been doing the same thing for a long time.
If Lou Anarumo was the fall guy a year ago, who's the fall guy this year?
Well, Duke Tobin's in the crosshairs for the first time ever. You know, he's essentially a member of the family here, and I don't know how much Steelers fans have interest in the intricacies of what's making Bengals fans irate these days, but, you know, he has kind of become the face of, okay, you blamed the coordinator, the players are bad. You know, they just 2.5 years ago, this franchise from a roster building perspective was at the mountaintop. I mean, they had just gone to the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship game. They won 10 games in a row before losing in Kansas City at the end of the 22 season. They had depth. They had stars. They had free agencies that hit back to back. They'd had drafts that were going well. Almost every decision since then has been bad, has spiraled. And that's 2.5 years, which, you know, in how many places in this league would get that guy canned? Well, not here. I mean, Duke's been here for 26 years. He's been a part of a lot of great roster building experiences and got them back to relevancy and all that stuff. But, you know, it's hard to imagine that you're not having a real hard discussion here, because all of these picks, you're picking these guys and they're not good enough. You're missing in free agency. You're not prepared for free agency because you're all tied up and trying to get T and Jamar done, and you don't even sign anybody to help your defense. And we're back at this spot, Mark, like you said, like everybody saw this coming. And so when that's the case, he has been in the crosshairs. Obviously Zach Taylor's in the crosshairs. You can't fire the defensive coordinator and get to hire a new one most of the time. So, and as much as he's the offensive guy, he has to wear this defense, and that's not his specialty. He says those words to us, like, I'm not a defensive guy. He needed to get this hire right. I'm not saying this is Al Golden's fault, but when you go from bad to somehow worse, you wear that. And so I think those two are a little intertwined in terms of who everybody's looking at, but it's Cincinnati, man. That don't mean anything's changing at all. So there's still a long way to go in this one.
Now, I don't know if you know this, but there's been a Fire Tomlin movement here for the past 8 to 10 years.
Yeah, right.
Is there
every year?
Yeah, it's really loud now. But is Zach Taylor getting a lot of, I know you mentioned it, but is he getting a lot of outside noise that people want him gone? It's just like his fault.
Well, outside where? Outside the I-275 belt or outside Paycor Stadium? Well, I mean, they're two different levels. I think
Bengals Nation, right?
Bengals, yeah. I mean, Bengals Nation has never really liked, never really, viewed him as the guy. Even when they were going to the Super Bowl, really? It was almost like they made it there despite him. Or when they, it felt like they never really embraced him. And there's like a history to this of why. Well, he was like a bad offensive coordinator for UC under Tommy Tuberville back in like 2016. And he's kind of always had this, like, who is this guy they hired? He wasn't ready. He was 6-25-1 his first 2 years. And he's just, Burrow has lifted him up. That's always sort of been the bottom line foundation of the Zach Taylor era here. But, much like you guys here, he's had winning seasons despite a lot of issues in his face in recent years. I mean, he's had gone without Burrow for long stretches, and now they've had this really good offense with Flacco. They had a good offense with Jake Browning in 2023 when Burrow got hurt then. They had winning seasons each of those few years, and he does have the Super Bowl. Those don't exactly happen all the time around here, and the patience factor is different. So, fans, yes, fans are like over it, right? Just be done with this, start over. But internally in the building, it's a different conversation.
We're all old enough to remember, and I remember as a kid, the Bengals were on the upswing as the Steelers were on the downswing, right? Boomer, Icky, trips to the Super Bowl. And then it went through the late 90s and 2000s, really, where it felt like the Bengals were lost in the wilderness for a long time. Carson Palmer, Kimo von Olhoffen, I don't need to rehash all that. But it felt like for a little while, Vontaze Burfict and Juju and all that, this rivalry had some new life. For a couple of years, it even felt like the biggest rivalry in the AFC North. Where do you think, Paul, we are in that life cycle of the Steelers-Bengals rivalry right now?
Both teams are just too concerned with their own survival to worry about each other right now, right? I think both teams are just scuffling so hard to try to find, the core of themselves like those teams had. I think those teams in those days were so sure of themselves and what made them and what made them go and had success playing other teams. That's what made that rivalry so fun, is like you had these styles that were very definitive, whether it was Zimmer's defenses and all that stuff, and obviously all those defenses that the Steelers have had, and Roethlisberger, and how fun all that stuff was. I just feel like now you've got these teams that are just searching these last couple of years to try to figure it out. And so it's like when you're more concerned with yourself, and like, I mean, I know the Bengals look at this game right here and are like, I mean, if we don't win this, there's no shot. I mean, they don't really have much of a shot right now anyway, but they just have to have this one to keep the Steelers and win the tie break and all that stuff. I mean, in Pittsburgh, you guys are going through similar stuff, just searching, trying to get back on the right track and find stuff. That when that is the concern, when there's so much concern on yourself, it's like, who has time for a rivalry right now? Like, it's just find a way to win a damn game. And so I think that's kind of been the way it's been the last couple of years through my view.
Any chance, maybe lose a game or two here that they just totally shut down Burrow and say, not worth it?
No, because I think as long as he's healthy, the doctors will decide that. But I think there's always some Burrow's the guy. I go back, I remember a couple years ago, gosh, Burrow's one of his early years, where it was like he was playing, Steelers were up like a million in the fourth quarter, just zero blitzing him. And because they knew he had to throw, and he's like in there, he's not coming out. He's refusing to come out. That's Joe too. That's defined Joe's football life. Like, I'm the quarterback. I play no matter what. Like, I'm playing, and he sees value in playing, even if they are, 3-whatever. He sees value in being in there. And so if the doctors say he's healthy, there's no extra chance of re-injury. And like, that's up to the doctors to say what it is in terms of turf toe surgery. He's had the surgery. He's come back. If they say it's all good, he's going to play. He's going to be the guy to go play, because there's value in that in his mind. And I think the organization will support that. They're not going to be ever making it feel like they're not doing everything in their power to go win games no matter what.
Senior writer covering the Bengals for The Athletic. Catch him on the Growler podcast as well. The great Paul Daner Jr. joining us from behind enemy lines. in southeastern Ohio, northwestern Kentucky. We appreciate it, Paul. Tell Jay I didn't mean the shot title.
No, I'm going to apologize to Jay immediately. I'm going to pick up my phone right now. I'm gonna call Jay. Too. I'm gonna be like, I didn't put him up to this. I didn't know this was gonna happen.
It was Mac.
He was really mean spirited. I thought. Just kidding.
Hey, Paul, real quick, who you picking?
Oh yeah,
they haven't made my pick yet.
You want to keep it for the growler?
I mean, anywhere. I honestly don't know what I don't know at this point. I do think it's going to look like every Bengals game looks. It's going to be high scoring and close. They probably won't make a stop. That's what it's going to look like. They all look the same right now, Mark. That's what it is. So pick who flipped the coin at that point. I don't think it matters what I say here.
I don't know, Kaboom. At least Morrison gave us a pick. I
mean, yeah, so maybe.
All right, fine. Bengals 62-61. How about
there
that?
There we go.
That?
Good job.
Paul, great stuff, man. We appreciate the time.
Paul, bring us some chili.
There you go.
We'll see you. Paul Daner Jr. from The Athletic. He covers the Bengals. Also, check out the Growler podcast if you didn't do it a couple weeks back when we had Jay Morrison on as well, who now won't return my texts or calls.
What were you would that come out the wrong way, or are you just trying to be mean?
No, I'm just busting balls. That's all. It's the AFC North, man. If you can't bust balls with each other, what good are the rivalries, you know?
Yeah, Paul, great guy.
Paul's a great guy. Jay was great. We appreciate both of them taking the time to come on and give us a little view of the Bengals. Also appreciate the Dan Heck team for being on board here, Kabali and Max, since the very beginning. HeckTeamHomes.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they're the people to trust. They'll lead you through the entire process, the whole team ready to help you out. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, all of them waiting to help you get into the perfect home, get out of the old home, and do everything and get it done. I know it's tough during the holiday season, but they're there to help you get it done and take some of the worry out of your hands for you. Go to HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. We appreciate them supporting the program. So there's Thursday night football tonight, Kaboom. Do you want to make a pick real quick, and then we'll wrap it up?
I don't even know who's playing.
Good job by you. Jets-Patriots in Foxborough. You're not even going to pause on this one.
I mean, speaking of that, what was the record from the other night?
From the other night or from last week?
Last week, the other night, same thing. I don't know. I was on.
You went.
I lost the whole entire day. You have to understand this.
By the way, the Kabali travel log on Twitter was amazing.
I had to entertain myself somehow.
So your flight was delayed 10 times?
11, because we got on a plane and he said, the air traffic controller is not happy with the flight path I put in. It's going to take another 25 minutes. I'm like, what the hell? I've never heard this one before.
So you leave the hotel in LA at 4 a.m.
I got the 3:30 wake-up call-ish, get ready. What'd I do? Take the shuttle to LAX, 4 a.m. I don't even know. 4 a.m., got there about 4:30, go through all that crap. LAX is awful. Flight takes off at 6, perfect. Bam, on, taking off early, land in Orlando. As we're landing, I see no snow. I'm like, oh, this is
You
great.
Mean Chicago, O'Hare. I knew what you meant.
Whatever. Boom, as soon as we hit the ground, your phone gets service. Bing. American Airlines, your flying plane has been delayed to Pittsburgh for 2.5 hours. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I would have accepted that in a minute. Then they just kept nickel and diming them. 20 minutes, 15 minutes, 40 minutes, 18 minutes, 30 minutes, 15 minutes delay. Just kept going. Boom, 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 boom. Then the plane's here. We're going to start boarding. They start boarding. They went to start boarding and say, wait a second. We have a mechanical issue. There's like bare wire showing in one of the seats, so it's going to take a little bit more time. Then they're like, okay, we're good. And we get there. Then the flight plan. Then I land.
What time did you land?
I got home at probably 9 o'clock, I guess. I landed at 9.
It's a long day, my friend.
But then you get on the parkway, and little did I know that there's – Parkway and Rob outside of Robinson, they make
just it past Robinson three. Like before you get to 79.
Yeah, somewhere there. They cut it down to one lane, so it was traffic for – says, add 19 minutes to your time. I'm like, oh. So I ended up pulling in about 10:20.
It's a hell of a day, my friend. We appreciate your steadfastness, though, in fulfilling your role.
I hate Chicago. I hate O'Hare Airport. It was the worst airport ever.
At least you get to go back next weekend.
I don't know, though. I might just say, screw it.
Drive? Might be faster.
Honestly, first of all, you prevent any of the cancellations. Second of all, I haven't really booked a flight yet, and it is out of control. I just dropped my thing.
Excuse me?
It's like $600 to go to Chicago, and it's a 40-minute flight.
Yeah, just drive, man. Just drive.
Oh, this is awful, awful.
Thursday night football, Jets at the Patriots. We both went 9-5 last week. So I'm still one game up on you. You got the Jets upset of the Browns. You got Houston over Jacksonville. I got Baltimore over Minnesota and New England over Tampa Bay. So that's how we remain in the same spots where we are. Me just one game ahead of us.
I take the Patriots. You could take the Jets.
I'm not taking the Jets. Are you insane?
Boo, boo. Not good.
We'll both take the Patriots, and nothing will happen if we're both right or wrong. How about that?
Yeah, I get to watch it now because I got Prime TV, but apparently I still don't have ESPN. But hey, I got $20 off my YouTube TV.
Oh, well, that makes everything better, right?
Yeah. We're going to have to get back into talking to wrestling one day.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because I was thinking about it this morning because I watched a good bit of Raw on Monday night, and my first thought was they're finally coming out of the death spiral of the last 2.5 months because it felt like they were just all the same stories, you know, not pushing the main eventers in the right directions, doing great work with the undercard and mid-card guys. They got the big tournament for Cena's last match and all that. And then you had Cena and Dom out there at the beginning of the show, and it was great stuff. It was great. And it feels like they're starting to find themselves with a couple weeks to go to Survivor Series. So they're reeling me back in after the whole Lesnar nonsense. And
well, he might be back. He might be leading the old Vision. I don't know.
What about Logan Paul?
Well, he's part of it. I mean, we really haven't heard from him yet.
Well, they're starting to reel me back in just in time for Survivor Series. And then, you know, we'll go through the holidays. We'll get Rumble, Mania season, all
it's
that.
It's tough for me, honestly. They're setting themselves up. If it's not Dom and Cena for the final match, there might be some angry people.
Well,
I did predict as one of the guys maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I wrote it on WWE.com. Hey, I'd love to see Dom Cena final match. I'm going to have to pull that out and pat myself on the back.
Don't pull anything out. Thank you very much.
Easy.
All right. That's going to do it for today. We will be back on Friday with a special guest. We promised we would get somebody on this week to talk Pitt. And since game day is in town, we got to talk Pitt just a little bit on Friday with Notre Dame coming in. We got the perfect guy for that on Friday. Next week, we got another massive guest, also with ties to Pitt, actually.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
So we got plenty cooking. And like I said, make sure you're following on all the social media because we got some great giveaways planned for the holiday season. And we're almost there already. We'll talk a little more Bengals on Friday. And of course, Pitt Notre Dame. And get you ready for this Steelers game and see if they can get their act together. Maybe talk about some of that third down nonsense that Mike Tomlin was speaking about, both post-game and on Tuesday as well. Still plenty to get to in previewing this game. So enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks again for checking us out, and we'll talk on Friday. Appreciate you. See ya.